This is drive time, isn't it, back in Houston?
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Ah, it is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old dirty show, T-Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T, a.k.a. the face that produces the place, T-Mill. He is back in the building, and not sure. He said he did a lot of casino action in Albuquerque. I don't know what he did in bets, but it's a new week. And with a lot of early games, East Coast starts, we will hook you up next segment. Next segment, we will hook you up with T-Mill's best bets, so you got a chance to make a move and listen to the betting guru that is Tyler Milner. T-Mill's best bets coming up in the next segment, just in case you run into it, it going too late if we do it in the final segment. So that's coming up here in just a bit. But the latest news and the news of the day thus far, Clint, is the news on Joe Mixon. Running back Joe Mixon, who we have not seen. I'm talking OTAs, mandatory minicamp, training camp. We've not seen him. We've not seen him on the practice field. There have been times, Clint, a couple of times we thought, oh, that's Joe Mixon in street clothes, but I don't even know if it was actually him. So just hadn't seen a lot of sighting of him. I know D'Amico addressed it a few weeks back when Ian Rapoport made his report about him saying that he could miss the entirety of the preseason, which he was correct on. That's really the last time anybody has addressed it. This is the latest. The Texans are not activating running back Joe Mixon by Tuesday's 4 p.m. Eastern deadline, making him ineligible to play at least the first four games of the season due to an ankle injury. Mixon will be moved to the reserve non-football injury list, which automatically rules him out for at least the first four games. So that is the latest there, Clint. They will have to go on the first month without him. I wouldn't think so, but not a real surprise.
Yeah, not a real surprise at all. I mean, you got a guy that's been unseen. You got a guy that the organization clearly was disappointed and upset with and frustrated with a report that came out about a month ago about Joe Mixon. So you got an organization that made a move for a guy like Nick Chubb, and more importantly, Nick Chubb made the decision to come here. Now it seems like that may be a little bit more. Not that Nick was against going a 1-2 punch with Joe Mixon, but part of that pitch from the Texans to Nick had to be, hey man, look, Joe's injured, Joe's beat up. Not only is he a guy last year that we could have used a 1-2 punch with, but he's also beat up right now. Hell, we may start the season without him. So it makes sense why Nick Chubb would come in here, get the work, and be part of what the Texans want to do. So no surprise, to be completely honest with you, that Joe Mixon has been added to this list. No concern about Joe Mixon at this point. I think I said before, star week 5, 6, and 7,
yeah,
with Joe Mixon. Those are the weeks to be concerned. If you're a Texans fan right now, I feel really comfortable. Whether Damian Pierce is on this team or not, I feel really comfortable about the running backs that they have to pick from and that'll be on this Texans team to get them through a month of football and even have really good play, like get good, really good production from that position. Week 5, 6, and 7 is when Joe Mixon will have to come back, or he'll be out for the remainder of the season and miss the entire 2025 season. So those are the dates to star, because not only is it going to tell us more about Joe Mixon, but it's going to tell us more about what we need out of the current running back room if Joe Mixon can't go. So, yeah, not surprised with this move here.
Yeah, and to the point you're making, if we get to around week 3, week 4, and we haven't heard, you haven't heard reports, or we're not telling you, yeah, Joe Mixon was out at practice, or we talked to Brandon for Texans report, and we hadn't heard about him being out at practice, then that's one where you start to look like, okay, that's concerning, because as you said, if we get past seven weeks, then it turns into a season-long IR situation. So that is the latest injury front. Now, as you said, what's behind him and what does this mean? This means Nick Chubb obviously moves up, and you would think would be at least RB1 to start games. Damian Pierce, Daray, Woody Marks, those would I would say be the top four. We'll see what happens with Brooks and Jordan. But, Clint, of all of the guys that that are behind Joe Mixon, who we've been seeing in camp and in practice, who do you think the Joe Mixon first 4 weeks injury, who do you think this impacts the most?
Oh, I think it impacts Nick Chubb. I mean, Nick Chubb is now going to be able to prove the first month of the season whether he's closer to a bell cow or closer to washed up. I mean, you're going to see a guy that's older, that has had injuries. The head coach, D'Amico Ryans, came out and said, look, he's a little bit older. He's had some injuries. He's not going to be – hey, man, we'll see. And I think this is, instead of falling into a reserve role where you just get a handful of carries here or there, you may get 12, 15 carries if Mixon can't go, or if situationally you end up with more carries, yeah. But this is a situation where for Nick Chubb it is, hey, man, you got to be the bell cow. Now, there's a chance that Woody Marks is a rookie that they trust more than they typically would trust a rookie, and he gets – you know, the chance to be a third down back, or he gets a chance to get more play, that's fine. But I think this is a huge opportunity for Nick Chubb to prove wherever he is in his career what he's still got left in the tank.
Yeah, I think Nick Chubb makes sense. I think Damian Pierce is the most effective because I think he would be off this team if Joe Mixon was not injured. I don't see the space where he would be on the team. And hell, you brought it up. They still may make a move with Damian Pierce. They may still trade him, but I think it absolutely helps his chances to make this team much more with Joe Mixon being out at least 4 weeks. I think that is the case. Although I think Woody Marks is probably the one more to keep an eye on. But I think it affects his place on the team. I think he would either definitely be traded or looking to get picked up by somebody else if Joe Mixon wasn't injured.
Yeah, I think that's fair. If you're looking at it from a career changing perspective, I think Damian Pierce, you get an opportunity in what appears to be a more ready run scheme, run personnel up front. Seems to be more like a fit for him than what maybe Bobby Slowick was. So it could be a career-changing moment for Damian Pierce. There's no doubt about that.
Boy, and I'm telling you, hey, you got 4 weeks, big dog, to do something, to show something, to show a reason why, you know, other teams should go after you. And you got 4 weeks because his last, 2 years have not been great on tape. That's his rookie year. This is the best opportunity he has moving forward.
I love Joe Mixon.
5 o'clock fire.
Thanks, John. The Astros, they are off today, Clint, but they came off of winning 3 of 4 from the Orioles. They needed that's what they needed to do. Their lead in the AL West is 2 games. The Mariners, they took 2 of 3 from the A's over the weekend, but they needed to stop the bleeding going into that series. They had a 4-game losing streak and struggled to score runs. Now, listen, the pitching wasn't great all throughout. Spencer Arrighetti probably put together the best start in yesterday's loss, but they did what they needed to do, and now they'll have the Rockies coming up before we get set up for that series. For you, the thing that was the most important thing, maybe – positive or negative, but the thing that stuck out to you is the most important thing over this 4-game series they had with the Orioles.
I think it was Christian Walker for me. I think obviously he's going to be the first baseman, and when you get Yordan Alvarez back, your lineup's going to get significantly stronger right there in the middle. And if those supporting pieces that are going to be within one or two hitters of Yordan Alvarez, if they're swinging it well, I mean this is a game change, like a huge difference and upgrade. Not just Yordan coming back, but all of a sudden you've got a guy like Christian Walker that's been there, done it. He's starting to come around. I mean, he hit safely in all 4 games, had multiple hits, I think, in 2 or 3 of the 4 games. And it hitting for power. I mean, he is just a guy that, to me, again, once Yordan gets in there, he changes beyond Yordan, he changes this lineup in a major way. We know what Altuve does. We know what Pena does at the top. We've seen it all year long. You know what Correa can do in monster moments, even though since he's been with the Astros, he's been really good.
It doesn't matter what moment it is right now with him.
You know what Jordan brings to the table, one of the more feared hitters in all of baseball. If beyond Jordan, your guys like Christian Walker first and foremost, but also Yiner Diaz, you know, guys kind of down that lineup there, if they start swinging it really well, this lineup doesn't only get better with Jordan coming in and more productive, but it also gets significantly deeper. So I would go with Christian Walker and what we saw him do this weekend. We've seen flashes, but this was a four-game stretch where, boy, he looks more confident than we've seen him in an Astros uniform.
Yeah, for me, coming off the I would say disappointing outings from Christian Javier and Lance McCullers back-to-back days, as they are still trying to see who can fill that third and fourth spot in the rotation. I did think Spencer Arrighetti's performance yesterday was very important. All right, for him to go and give you some length, give you some innings, nearly finish 6 innings, 5 2/3, 2 earned runs, 2 strikeouts, no walks, which was a real problem for Javier and Lance McCullers. I thought that was a big deal because that's the thing that they're going to need to find consistent guys that have good stuff to be able to go behind Hunter and Framber Valdez. So to me, Spencer Arrighetti, especially coming off of the starts from Christian Javier and Lance McCullers, was big. And what do you know? Baseball is, he's the one who loses. In the game, 3-2, he's the one loses. Yeah. And you know, those two really struggled. All right, the Rockies series coming up, Hunter Brown versus Tanner Gordon, Framber versus Chase Dolander, and Jason Alexander against the TBA. I mean, the Astros should come home, especially if the big fella Jordan Alvarez, which it feels like, Clint, we're about reached the point where it's time for him to go. He's 7-for-15, 4 extra base hits. He's had a couple of walks. It feels like we've seen enough of him in AA to be able to get in on this homestand.
Well, we've seen enough, regardless of the production, which is awfully impressive, and I mean, it gets you even more excited as an Astros fan. Regardless of the production, the fact that he's been able to swing the bat violently for 4 games now and produce, and they're apparently, knock on wood, so far, I don't believe there's been any inflammation, any side effects, any kind of re-injuring of the hand or issues with that hand. That's the huge part that says, hey, man, all right, let's get back in the big leagues and see if we can't help take this Astros lineup to the next level.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, we've heard a lot about Hendrickson, which, by the way, that got resolved. They added $14 million to his contract this year. He'll make $30 this year, but he will remain a unrestricted free agent. There's obviously been the Jerry Jones, Micah Parsons situation. But the Commanders have had a bit of a standoff with their wide receiver, Terry McLaurin. They have finally reached a three-year deal worth $96 million. By the way, side note, Nico Collins got 3 years, $72 million in his deal. So he's making a lot more than Nico is, which is a great deal for the Texans. But they finally get it done, and Clint, I thought they were playing with fire. You've decided to go completely all the way in, getting Deebo Samuel, trading for Laremy Tunsil. You see your young quarterback lead you to an NFC championship game. You're trying to make a real run, and they were fooling around with his top target, and now they finally got it done and got him in camp. That makes the most sense, because I didn't understand. Man, you can't just all of a sudden in the middle of it just say we ain't going for it no more.
Right.
With one of your top dudes.
Yeah, the interesting thing is, I know there was an age play there. He's up 29. In age a little bit. You start looking at these advanced stats or advanced analytics or whatever of older players, and kind of, do you want to pay that $30 million a year, $32 million, whatever it was a year, to players that typically the numbers will tell you their play declines, injuries increase, production decreases. And it seems like they got beyond that. That was the hang-up originally, and they got beyond that. So, I think they are – I know they're in the same division with the Eagles, the defending Super Bowl champs, but they've got to be one of the teams that's in the Super Bowl conversation, because they got a squad and coming off a hell of a year.
They go and get Von Miller. They go and get – yeah, they made a lot of moves.
clock fire.
I didn't want to pass this across, Clint. Sean McVay, obviously the coach of the Rams, the first opponent for the Texans, he said, barring a setback, Matthew Stafford should be ready to roll for week one. He said, I cannot see into the future, but if you look at what the last week has entailed, McVay said, there is nothing that would leave me to believe, unless we have an unforeseen setback, that he's not going to be ready to roll against the Texans. So
yeah, look, I marked this about 2 weeks ago as something to keep an eye on. Man, I thought it was interesting, and I saw a comparison of kind of connecting the dots between what he's dealing with and what Romo dealt with at the end of his career when Dak took his job. And if that is the case, that rotational aspect of throwing, which there is no, you just simply, if you can't throw consistently, I think players can age and maybe lose some arm strength. Players can age and lose mobility. But as long as you can think, right, and you can rotate to throw, then I think you can be an advantage. If you can't rotate, especially for a guy that is violent of a thrower as Stafford, then you're going to have a real problem. And apparently that rotational aspect of it is what aggravates his back issues. And so keep an eye on that, because obviously, as you mentioned, this is our first opening week opponent. And, a quarterback, older quarterback that plays the game with a little more risk than normal with a back issue, that could be something that ends up helping the Texans a bit.
Yeah, and something to aggravate it too may be Daniil Hunter coming from behind and drilling them in the back.
There's that too.
that might re-aggravate it. All right, coming up a little early, but we will get you T-Mill's best bets and some of the moves the Texans may have to make in the coming days. We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, as we're getting closer to the start of these games, as I said, in 5 o'clock fire, we will move this up. So you can get fair bets, T-Mill's best bets. We do it every day, usually at the end of the show. But with T-Mill's, I mean, he feels real good about these folks. He said, I need you to push this up early in the show because I got some damn winners. He said, I believe he said to me, I guarantee.
Yeah, I did use that word. You're right.
I don't think you did. I just made all of that up, but you're going with it. All right. He just used it now.
Strong.
All right, let's get it. Let's get to it. What are your best bets before these games get started?
Yeah, real quick for the Drive family, three best bets on a Monday for you around baseball. And I'm going to go ahead and note this. This
note
is going to be a fun week because, baby, at the end of this week, some of our best bets are going to be NFL related. That gives me a little Southern blood flow. How about you guys?
It is. Why NFL related? What are you?
Because we're getting there.
Oh, okay. We're
finally.
All right.
Finally, the glory has returned. Three baseball bets. These are all starting in the next like 10, 15 minutes. So if you do want to tail, maybe you want to fade, get that locked in. First, Red
Sox.
We're
not fading. We're not fading, man. You're on it. You're guaranteeing it. Let's
yeah.
go.
Red Sox money line. Boston, they are at Baltimore against the Orioles. Almost even money. I got mine at about -110. Red Sox to win.
And I need the Orioles to win. Go ahead.
In the same game, under 9.5 runs for the Red Sox and Orioles. And then your last bet here on a Monday is Tampa Bay, the Rays, +1 run.
Oh, come on.
At -145 odds at the Guardians this evening. Those are your three best bets.
Come on, Rays. I need it, baby. I need it. There's your best bets. He's guaranteeing him. He feels real good about it. Feels real sexy about it.
Mm-hmm.
Got to have him. Got to have him. How'd you? How were your bets this weekend?
Oh yeah. The casino was actually the old Navajo tribe was nice to me, man.
Yeah.
Probably came home in the green about 200, 250. Nothing crazy.
Hey, got you. That mean paid for your trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a win.
Yeah, it was nice.
Wasn't too bad. Wasn't too shabby. 200.
Yeah. Come on with a couple bids.
Now, real quick, because was this like Clint's moment in Vegas? Was this a comeback or was this a steady thing? Because Clint had to come back to get the green.
Dug a deep hole, man.
Oh, yeah, he did.
I've been there. This was not the case this time, though. I honestly didn't gamble a hell of a lot at the casino, not as much as some of the other guys I was with. But I walked in, first bet I did was I won 50, just throwing it on black. And then after that, all the profit came from slots.
All right, well, there it is. T-Mill's best bets. Go ahead and mess with that money line. Red Sox over the Orioles. Red Sox and Orioles under 9.5. I don't know if it's anything like them Orioles pitching. They may fool around and grab 9 themselves.
That's fair. We did just see that.
God almighty, man. They're turning him out. And then Rays, Guardians, +1 with the Rays. All right, Clint, as I'm looking through here, someone texted in, if Nick can trade Pierce now, he won't wait 4 weeks. He will do so as soon as he can. I do wonder what people think Damian Pierce would get traded for.
Well, if John Metchie gets you a tight end that you need at a need position and a one-round bump up in a draft pick, I think Damian Pierce gets you at least that.
Yeah.
I would think so. I mean, yeah, you got a proven player that has damn near rushed for 1,000 yards in a season, would have if he'd have stayed healthy, versus a guy that's never – I mean, hell, he ain't done nothing. And you can argue that the sickness that he went through and had to go through and defeat, that you can argue that that may have taken years off of his NFL career. You know it took years from him, but it may have took years off his NFL career. So, yeah, I would think that the right team – I wasn't joking earlier. Like I can't remember who I was talking to, but somebody. Oh, I know it was the audio from Nick Cayley talking about how they really liked him in with the LA Rams. Now that may have been Damian Pierce's coach talking.
Yeah.
More so than hey man, like Sean McVay actually does like the style of Damian Pierce. But yeah, I mean, I think there's at least a draft pick, you know, improvement there. With Damian Pierce, if there's a running back needy team, I don't know.
Yeah, well, if that is an option right now with the Joe Mixon stuff, because you think they're one of the teams that may be looking more running back than giving up one, they would have a very very big comfort with Woody Marks being that guy, or see someone else. I don't know. I know Cam Akers got cut by the Saints today. He is somebody that they had in the building last year that I think jumped Damian Pierce as the number two back at times here before they traded him to Minnesota. I think they got a 7th-round pick for him. That's what I was thinking, maybe something similar to what they did with Cam Akers last year.
Yeah.
But Damian does not have multiple Achilles injuries like Cam Akers did and wasn't as old. So we'll see.
There's also a play with Damian Pierce. If you don't do anything now, you're obviously not re-signing him next year, so he walks for nothing. So do you get a 6th-round pick? Do you get a 7th-round pick? Do you take one of your 6th-round picks and turn it into a 5? You know, do you get a veteran safety that you can depend on, or a veteran corner that could be your 4th corner? Do you get is there a veteran guard out there that you feel like is – maybe not as talented as Juice Scruggs, but kind of like a Jake Andrews. Is there another Jake Andrews out there that's a guard that may not be, you know, the biggest, strongest, you know, offensive lineman, but is an improvement over your guards?
I think Kendrick Green's out there.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. That's not
Kenyon.
No, I know neither one of them. I don't think either one of them are. Now, if you're looking for a goal line fullback and you want to cut Jakob Johnson for it, then I'm good with that. I think them Pittsburgh folks are onto something with him playing fullback.
Also, today, if you're wondering cuts or anything, D'Amico Ryan said there is no roster updates at this time. When he had a Zoom with the media earlier today, he said they're still working through it at this point. So that is the latest there with their situation. But there was a player that was interesting that you thought could be somebody that maybe we should look out for, and I don't know how many people have talked about it, but D'Nico Autry, he is somebody, if there was a surprise one, he would be one that you kind of looked at that maybe he is not on this roster, and he seemed to be somebody that they love when you think about his position versatility, which they like, that can play inside, outside. You never want to have too many pass rushers. This is guys that multiple double-digit sack seasons. But you think he is somebody to keep an eye on about potentially not being a part of this 53?
Yeah, look, I mean, the reality of it is there's a contract there that's a bigger number that they could – there's some cap savings, significant cap savings there. He has been unavailable for one reason or another, whether it's injury – or it was the PED suspension, I believe it was, yeah. the when he first got to town. So, yeah, I mean, he's been a good player, the very small sample size that he's been here, that he's been healthy. And you just wonder, they really like Daryl Taylor. You know, I think they really like Derek Barnett, obviously. And so you start looking at the depth pieces. You know, inside, you could argue that I'd rather, especially passing situations, have him inside and have that package. But do you pay him $10 million, bypass the cap savings, and hope that he's legal and healthy? You know, I don't know. I just think it's something to watch. I think that is something. I think the big names on this team that are something to watch, I think Danico Autry's one, and I think Cam Robinson is one. I think Damian Pierce obviously is one. And I pick a name, but some of those depth linebackers, there's some really good linebackers that are going to have to be nicked from this team.
The Hansons, the Neemans, guys that help on special teams.
Yep.
As well. Yeah, there's a lot. Danico Autry, I don't think that's one that a lot of people are talking about. I would put that in a category of me being surprised if they did that. I get your points. I think one, you never have enough pass rushers, and mm-hmm. they love the ability of moving him inside and outside and having him on the field in a way that I don't think Taylor can do Barnett as right. much.
Well, there's also too the injury right now helps him. You know what I mean? Like the injury allows the Texans to go, okay, we're going to leave you on this pup list, or we're going to leave you on this unable to perform list, and kind of couch you for another month. And then if anything happens with these other guys, we'll bring you back and play you. So from a roster perspective, the injury kind of gives them an out, if you will, or an avenue to keep him along with everybody else. It all comes down to, do they want those cap saves? I can't remember what they are. I want to say it's $4 or $5 million that they could save. So, I mean, it is significant money.
Yeah. All right, you brought up one, and I think this is going to be the toughest decision that Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans have to make. And that is, do we keep a guy that we have committed $12 million to and keep a guy that we drafted in the second round that played in playoff games for us last year? Do we keep both of them as backups? We'll discuss that coming up.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, coming up behind us on this beautiful Monday, Texans All Access, as I'm sure they will give you their thoughts on the news of the day. Joe Mixon is going to miss the first 4 weeks of the season, being placed on the non-football injured list. I'm sure they will discuss that. You'll hear the latest from Mark Vandermeer, John Harris. Nobody understanding and closer to the Texans situation than those guys. Andre Ware, Indy Kalu, part of the broadcast team. Indy Kalu did a great job doing TV preseason with John Harris in the booth, as well as Andre Ware, obviously. Andre does a great job with Vandermeer every. Can I hear a little Andre? You got a little Andre with Woody Marks. When Woody Marks scored his touchdown, Andre gives us one about 4 or 5 times a year. When he told them damn Titans to put them jerseys in the trunk. That was when he said every week with this guy.
That was Laramie, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. You know, he's a table hitter. This is Woody Marks, who scored a touchdown against the Lions. Here's Andre Ware in a part of his call.
Second down and 4 at the Detroit 9. Mertz under center, Marks in the backfield. Berrios motioning around. Here's the give to Woody over left guard across the 5. He's in! Touchdown, Houston! Woody Marks, power running into the end zone. Good blocking on the left side, and the Texans are back in front of Detroit.
I'm just saying.
That's going to be a hot key.
I am just saying.
Correct, Mark.
Hey, man. I swear. The third one I thought for sure was Tyler replaying the second one. And anybody know, been around somebody like that at the end? I'm just saying. You know what the hell, you know exactly what the hell he's saying.
I'm just saying.
That's going to be a hot key.
Lean into that thing. Go ahead, Trey. He's coming up as well on Texans All Access. Stay tuned for that. That will that is one that will pull me out of my any mood that I'm in. You following up back to Beckham? I mean, good God, because I could just see the look on his face while he just stand down there, looking over his empire. He's staring down there. She had a little head shake with it. That good hair, Andre, got a little head shake with it.
And old producer Mark couldn't help. That's going to be a drop.
I bet Aaron was losing his mind, too. All right, that's coming up. After them, Area 45, they're back in action tonight as well, as they will have their thoughts on the Joe Mixon news and much, much more as they follow. Make them say. All right. Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, Chris Santiago coming up behind Mark and John, Texas All Access. So stay with it. All right. Again, as we've said throughout the day, there are several teams that have made moves, made cuts. I saw the Bears. They've gone ahead and Ben Johnson didn't waste no time, man. He's ready to rock and roll. I saw him go ahead and unload 14 people today. like Ben Johnson used to work at Sprint or something. Boy, that was a weekly thing for them. But they've unloaded some players. Some other teams have made some cuts. The Texans are still, as we said before, still kind of working through some things, according to D'Amico Ryans there. So they have not made any moves. But, Clint, I think the most difficult thing and decision that they're going to have to make, to me, and what I think they're really talking about, because this is going to cause them in some form or fashion to maybe keep a player that they may not fully trust, which would then make them probably have to get rid of a player somewhere on the roster that they maybe would love to keep, because the tackle and offensive line situation, and the tackle situation in particular, now that it looks like Ursary is going to be the left tackle and it looks like Titus Howard's going to be the right tackle, now that leaves Fisher, Cam Robinson, second-round pick, and Blake Fisher, who you just drafted last year. You usually want to develop those guys. And Cam Robinson, the veteran tackle who you gave $12 million to, I think, in your thoughts, fill the left tackle void. And then distant Trent Brown, who you brought in, which I don't know how much he actually factors into this part of it, but you usually don't have two backup tackles. Usually there's a swing tackle that could play there. Usually don't have two backup tackles that you're keeping on the roster, and especially a guy who makes $12 million is one of them.
Look, your plan to fix the biggest issue with the Texans consisted of these two guys starting, and Ariante Ursary you drafted in the second round. Let's see where he fits in. Let's see if he can take a job. And the reality of it is, both of the guys, Blake Fisher apparently has pissed down his leg and regressed significantly, and Cam Robinson's been injured. So now you've got those two guys as backups. Look, I can't help but think right now, given the Texans' tackle situation, that given the opportunity, and I don't know if the opportunity presents itself or not, but given the opportunity, even if you've got to pay some of Cam Robinson's contract, I got to believe there's teams out there that after training camp realize they need a starting tackle and an upgrade at a starting tackle. And the Texans probably need some level of guard play that they can absolutely trust and don't have to blow up their tackle situation if Ed Ingram can't play, right? I mean, I just...
Well, that's a good point. What if Titus and Ursary are really playing well, but you're having some issues, or there's an injury, you're having some issues with the inside? Right now, you would think the move would probably be Titus over Juicer, Patterson.
Yeah, I mean, or you can play the whole juice, you know, Patterson at guard, and he's really a center and he's light in the ass, or, you know, what, which he, by the way, he's bigger than I thought he was when I saw him at camp this week. Maybe he's been working, but
Jared Patterson.
But, you know, juice, we've seen that song and dance before. And look, maybe they are comfortable with it. I'm just painting the picture of you've got four, if you count Trent Brown, five tackles. And the problem area is if a problem arises inside, you have to shuffle your offensive line deck by moving Titus Howard in, moving Ariante Ursary from left to right, and putting Cam Robinson in at left. Like that is a lot of moving and shaking because you couldn't find decent guard play, which was a problem when the season ended last year. Right? So all I'm saying is between over the next 24 hours, if there is an opportunity that presents itself for the Texans to eat a little bit of the Cam Robinson deal, you move Cam for a guard, for an interior offensive lineman. I don't know why you don't make that move.
Yeah.
I don't know why you don't make that move, right? I mean, you've again, unless Juice Scruggs has impressed you to the point of where you have zero concerns, unless Ed Ingram has come in and you're sitting there and your conversation around Ed Ingram is like, what in the hell was Minnesota thinking? Ed Ingram is this guy's going to save our interior offensive line. Like, unless those conversations are being had, I got to believe that they're considering moving Cam Robinson.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would think. $12 million as a backup? I got it. You don't see those. Like a – And it's a backup position in which they don't get on the field.
Right.
Right, like it's a tackle situation. Text line coming through. With Fisher and an unproven Ursary at tackle, Nick needs the insurance that Cam Robinson offers from the text line. Also, they think they keep two backup tackles knowing Titus can go to guard. Yeah, the Titus thing
is interesting. I don't like it in theory. I mean, I know it can happen, but I just don't like it. But we'll see. I mean,
I just don't like it from a standpoint of. So let's say if it's between Cam and Blake Fisher, who do you think? Yeah.
Well, I mean, for the only one that can play right, that I think right now that I would trust to play is Cam.
So it's Cam. Cam that can play.
And I'll be honest with you though. I would not be opposed to. Now I would need to. I need to know whether that second preseason game where he improved. You know, I need to know what this last week has looked like for Blake Fisher. Yeah. But I would not have a problem going into a season with Blake Fisher as a swing tackle. Hell, you did it last year.
Yeah. I that's my thing is with the Titus to guard situation, you know, if for some reason an injury or something occurs or just poor play like last year, boy, man, just maybe it's not a big deal, but just uprooting three different positions. Right, to get to, you would, unless you really believe Juice can hold it down or something like that. But then if you say, all right, the best that we could do is kicking Titus inside, moving Ursary, especially if he's playing well, moving Ursary back to the right side and Cam in the left tackle spot, you know, three different positions. And that would especially be tough if Ariante Ursary is holding down the left side and there's a difference there.
Well, it's going to be interesting. I think it's just something to watch. Look, I don't.
That's the biggest decision I think they have.
I don't think it's going to happen. But I do. If the opportunity presents itself, I got to believe that is on the table. Especially one that allows you to reinforce your interior offensive line. I got to believe it's on the table.
Then I'd have lost a whole lot of money if you'd have told me, hey, Ed Ingram's going to start at a guard. Andrews is going to start at center. And Cam and Blake
backup
are looking at backup spots. Second round pick, and a guy who makes 12. Man, I would have lost a lot of money.
They're all fixable.
A lot of money in that scenario. But right now, that's the scenario we're staring right down the pipes at. All right. Again, Texans All Access coming up behind us. Area 45, live and local from 7 to 11 p.m. The best late night sports show in all of Houston. Area 45 follows up. Texans All Access. Clint, great job as always. Tyler, welcome back. Hopefully we go 3 for 3 on best bets. And if we don't, I will take the wheel. But great job today as well, Tyler. I am Ron. The show is always Houston. We love you, baby.
Main attractions, man.
We're the Baytown Rangers, bro.
Yeah, yeah, we're the Baytown Rangers.
Y'all had some good
Rangers, baby.
We put out golfers.
I'm going to tell you.
I still do it.
I'm just saying.
That's going to be a hot key.
I am just saying.
Tyler, I love you too, man. You're so H-Town.